Welcome on in, hour number two of the program here. Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle with you until 10 o'clock each and every weeknight here on 92.9 The Game. Really spirited conversation in the first hour about Zach Robinson and QB1. We'll get back to that a little bit later on, but right now we got to hit the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our buddy Will McFadden, senior writer and editor for AtlantaFalcons.com. Will, as we pick up the pieces from Sunday and try to move forward to this week at home, what were your biggest takeaways about the messaging from Coach today as he tries to guide his team after that, frankly, historic loss?
Yeah, you know, I do really believe that a lot of the work that coaches do is in diagnosing problems as they pop up, coming up with a solution, and then communicating and getting everybody on the exact same page to ultimately, hopefully, correct that solution. So really that is a long way of saying that the work for Raheem Morris and his staff kind of begins now. And so I know that a lot of fans, you know, just seeing it on social media, things like that, after a loss like that, there's probably really not much anybody can say from a podium that is going to make anybody feel better. But I do think that Raheem Morris kind of took accountability, and that has kind of echoed across everybody that has spoken this week. You know, they have flat out said, yeah, it was frustrating the way that we played, right? Like, that's not acceptable. They have said they were outclassed. They said they were outplayed, like, kind of in every form and fashion. They've said that was nowhere near good enough. And now, and that's kind of what I got at right at the jump, is what do you do about it? So the real test to me of what Raheem Morris and his staff can kind of accomplish with this group is what is going to take place on Sunday. And then luckily, you know, this is one of the benefits of having an early bye week. It gives you a chance sometimes to get under the hood if you get off to a slow start, make some corrections, tinker around with some things, and get right back on track. So, yeah, it's going to be a big couple of weeks for Raheem Morris and his staff.
What do you make of the communication issues between Michael Penix Jr., Raheem Morris, and Zach Robinson? And do you believe that him coming down from the booth will be able to help cure those? Because it's not just, you know, not understanding some of the play calling or what have you. It's now we're getting back to the things that really made us our blood boil last year, Will, which is the burning timeouts after commercial breaks and not being able to get plays in when you have a minute and a half to do so. What have you diagnosed is really going on?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, those things can't happen or shouldn't happen without a very good reason to have them happen, right? And, you know, something, if this is true, and I have no reason not to believe that it is, the communication kind of technology part of it in Carolina, that I'm a little bit more understanding of, because sometimes that just simply is out of your control. And if you're in the middle of getting a play call and you and I are talking right now and it sounds perfect and then the phone cuts out, you didn't do anything wrong, I didn't do anything wrong, but the message gets lost, and then we got to kind of figure out, you know, am I going to pretend I just heard the end of your question and I'm just going to start answering? I don't know. I got to make that choice, and the clock is ticking down. And it helps to kind of understand, I think, a little bit of what my main question was early in that game, which was like, this is a different Michael Penix Jr. than I've ever seen, where he looked like he was rushed in his reads and just very quickly going to the check down option. And if that's because there were communication breakdowns, be it due to technology, be it due to a long play call, be it due to you know, getting it in a little bit later, like, those last two do need to get cleaned up if that is a problem, and that is in the execution of the procedure, and that is something the coaches and players need to fix. But if you're having an issue getting it in time, everything else ripples from there, and you're kind of behind the eight ball, and that means Michael Penix is getting up to the line of scrimmage without much time to look at the defense in front of him, without maybe an option to use a motion to get a key identifier, which leads to everything being post-snap, which probably leads to, I'm going to make a safe decision, get it to number seven, and let him go to work. So you kind of see how it all does connect. So moving Zach Robinson down to the sideline, hopefully, if the worst case scenario happens and you get a breakdown in technology, no problem. We're on the sideline. Mike, after this play, just run over. I'll put the play call in your ear, and then you can run back to the huddle. No problem. The other thing it does is just the wealth of experience Zach Robinson has, and him able to communicate that to players, be it quarterbacks, receivers, running backs, linemen, whoever, and other coaches. Like, I just think that having him there in the center of it all will benefit the offense in totality. So, I think there's a lot of reasons to make that move.
Firing Ike Hilliard as simple as through 3 weeks, wide receivers and tight ends, zero touchdowns.
I don't know if it's that simple. I think that is a little bit of maybe a symptom of, you know, what they said today. Raheem Morris saying it is definitely performance-based, which that is part of it. The Falcons also, per Next Gen Stats, have 7 drops this season. You know, it's not all on the receivers. Some are Bijan Robinson, for example. I can picture one in the season opener in my head. But that is tied for the league lead. So I think part of it is the performance. I think part of it is the details. And when you have to communicate everything out to 11 players at once and everybody has to be on the same page while moving the exact same speed and kind of all of the nuances that go into it, if there is a breakdown, it's going to look really ugly. And I think Sunday looked pretty ugly offensively. And so you kind of can understand maybe, all right, we've got to get tighter communication, make sure everybody is where they're supposed to be and that develop that trust. So, you know, I think that all kind of ladders up to something has to change, and the passing offense has not been where we expect it to be. So I think that all kind of led to ultimately the decision.
Talking all things Falcons with insider for AtlantaFalcons.com, senior writer and editor Will McFadden here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What do you make of the topsy-turvy performance from the special teams unit, not just the kicking game, but coverage as well? It's been another one of those things where it was great in the Vikings game, but in the other two games, kind of borderline disastrous.
Yeah, honestly, I think we're seeing a little bit of a delay in something that I thought we would see a few years ago when they kind of initially introduced the big change to the kickoff format. But we saw it kind of start out a little bit more similarly, where teams are either kind of kicking it through the back of the end zone or kicking it right to the front of the end zone. Now, however, I think you are starting to see some of the coordinators out there be like, all right, let's try some things. And you're getting these kind of like knuckleball, curveball-y kicks that the Falcons saw a lot of against Carolina. And that, I do think, is something that Marquise Williams, the special teams coordinator, is going to take a hard look at, figure out a solution for. Maybe it's moving your returners to a different location on the field. Maybe it's a different technique you're teaching them. It's a different approach, a mindset, things like that. Like, they can get that corrected. I honestly just kind of think it's a new trend we're starting to see emerge around the league. And it, you know, I think it's just going to take a little bit of time before teams fully know how to answer what we're seeing right now. But the coverage unit, you know, against Tampa, kind of that long return, there's no question that the special teams for the Falcons has been a strength in recent years. And I do actually think, you know, you think back to the Las Vegas game Monday night last year, the blocked punts, those were huge for the Falcons in that game. I do think Marquise Williams is a good coordinator who has had success here, but he does have a few kind of questions that need answering right now for his unit. They need to get answered pretty quickly.
You think we make it to Saturday, even Sunday morning, before we find out who's kicking?
I would maybe expect something that's similar to maybe this week, where a decision kind of comes Friday. Although it being a home game, you never know. They could bring it all the way up to game time. I'm trying to think through, like, what would be the strategic advantage there, or anything like that. Off the top of my head, I can't think of a real reason why you would, unless it truly is just that close of a decision. And honestly, you know, Chris, it might be at this point in time, because if there was a clear and obvious answer, that's what the Falcons would be going with. They've got to figure out the kicking game, and they are kind of bringing and looking in at everything. So if somebody really jumps out to them this week and earns that role, I would expect them to say so. If nobody does, then you're right, and maybe this does go kind of all the way up until Sunday.
You think the chatter around Kirk Cousins getting another opportunity dies down with as simple as a rebound start from Michael Penix Jr. Because, Will, I have to be honest with you, I was stunned to even hear a single Falcon fan voice rise up and suggest it. I thought that chapter was dead and buried. And Raheem Morris said as much, Will. He's not getting a chance to be the starting quarterback, but you know that's not how fans think.
You know, I am optimistic usually when it comes to prospects on the field, but I am a pretty real and sometimes cynical when it comes to the requests that people might make of their football teams. And after, you know, growing up and kind of seeing all the ways that people were at times clamoring for Matt Schaub over Matt Ryan, nothing at this point really surprises me. It just kind of comes with the nature of, I think, the job. And, you know, in a lot of ways, what Raheem Morris said about the kicker situation a couple of weeks ago, where he was like, look, I know that there's a lot that goes into it. I'm not a kicker or a kicking coach, so I don't know all of the nuances in and out to that level. I just know if it goes in or if it doesn't, right? And that's a little bit of the way that I kind of view the way fans have this relationship with their team. It's kind of like, I don't care how it happens, just go get that win on Sunday, right? I don't care if it's Michael Penix or Kirk Cousins. I don't care what I said last year about how it happened. Like, whatever it takes to win on Sunday is what it takes. So you get a bad game from Michael Penix Jr., and I think a lot of people are like, the most recent memory I have with this is a loss, and I don't want that again, so we got to change something, and that's a big reason why they lost this game was the quarterback play. Nobody has run from that. Michael Penix has said that. Raheem Morris has said that. Zach, like, the quarterback play has to be better. They have also said Michael Penix Jr. is our quarterback. They have no plans to make this competition. That was a one-time thing with a game very far out of hand to put a veteran on the field. You know, who knows what would have happened if for some reason, you know, points started flowing for the Falcons. Did they kind of change course? That didn't happen. So right now, Michael Penix is the quarterback moving forward. And where things remain with Kirk Cousins is where they've remained moving into this, or coming into the season. He's their backup. He's a highly capable backup and another great person to have on the sideline for Michael Penix Jr. But we've seen the highs from MPJ. So have the Falcons. And that's what they're here for. They just got to figure out a way to tap into that more often.
Before I let you go, through 3 weeks, how does the Falcon offense match up against Washington D?
Ooh, yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think that if Atlanta can run the ball, if they can get their run game rolling downhill, like, that matches up with any defense, I think, in the league. Like, the way that they can do it in the X factor with Bijan Robinson is always going to be such kind of like a trump card to me, that if that's working, I like their chances against anybody. If you get a game where, you know, it's maybe a little bit more like Tampa or kind of like Carolina, where either by nature of kind of your game flow, you get away from that run game, or it's just simply not productive. That's where I think you could run into some problems where they're able to disguise some of the blitzes. Frankie Louvu is able to play downhill a little bit more. Bobby Wagner's simulating and dropping back into your throwing lanes. Like, that's the game I don't think they want to be in. But this should be a close game, so they should be able to stay on game script. If they can have success on first down, I do like Atlanta to bounce back offensively in this one.
We'll appreciate the time. We'll be reading you and watching you on AtlantaFalcons.com. We'll chat soon.
Of course, Chris. Anytime.
All right. That is Will McFadden, their senior writer and editor for AtlantaFalcons.com. When we get back, we haven't touched on anything else because the Falcons are so ever-present right now with all this chaos going on at Flowery Branch. We'll get into some other NFL headlines because O has not one, not two, not three, not four, but five NFL true and false questions. We'll get back to your calls as well. And hit me up if you can't get through at C Thomas Radio on the Twitter. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle rolling with you till 10 on 92.9 The Game. If you missed Dukes and Bell's conversation with Falcons head coach Raheem Morris, exclusively here on 92.9 The Game. We'll play that for you coming up in just about 15 minutes. Appreciate everybody who's checked in on Twitter at C Thomas Radio, as well as on the phones at 404-726-0929. We'll get back to your calls in just a little bit. How concerned are you about Michael Penix Jr. with everything, and specifically his growth? I'm not talking about him as the long-term answer. We all know he is. I'm talking about specifically about his growth. Because with everything that's going on with the offense and all the turmoil, it's clearly having an effect on him. He has not looked right. Essentially, for a few minutes out of the Bucs game where he made some awesome throws, for the rest of the three games this season, he has not looked right. And again, if you think throwing the ball 42 times is the answer, you are incorrect. So we'll take more of your calls on that. Had a great first batch of calls in the 6 o'clock hour, and we'll take more of yours coming up a little bit later. But right now, we got to hit the rest of the NFL headlines with 5 true and false questions with Oren Romain.
All righty, sir. Let's head to Dallas for question number 1.
Oh.
The Pack and the Cowboys are playing this weekend.
I think I might have something to say about that.
Jerry has said there will be no tribute to Micah Parsons before the game. No tribute at all to Micah Parsons.
He was only here for four
only
seasons.
Here for 4 years.
He,
only
what did he accomplish? He is no Troy Aikman.
He is not a Troy Aikman.
He is not an Emmitt Smith. No. He is not Michael Irvin.
None of those guys, Jerry. None of those guys. He is, however, going to be starting for the Packers, and he says that the best tribute that he could get on Sunday would be a win against Dallas. True or false? Micah records a sack, at least one sack on Sunday versus the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be, I mean, pardon my phrasing here, headhunting. I mean, I know he had the quote about Dak Prescott saying that, yeah, if I get him, it's going to be painful.
He looked up to that guy, man.
Yeah, that was my mentor. Yeah, he's not going to care when that adrenaline's flowing. He's going to be trying to take Dak's head off like he's any other quarterback in the NFL. So, yeah, I mean, listen, in theory, this is a giant mismatch because the Packers defense should swallow a CeeDee Lamb-less Dallas offense. But here's the thing, Oren. They lost 13-10. Last week versus the Browns. Does that make
not great?
Yeah, I mean, does that mean that?
And their starting offensive tackle, right tackle is out again this week. Yeah, with an oblique injury.
But yeah, I still think Micah Parsons, even if they don't dominate the game, he's gonna want to get at. He gets after it like a madman in general.
This is true.
He's gonna be like an uncaged, like an animal that's been in a cage for a year that's finally been set free. He's going to do that dance where he crawls on the ground. And that, man.
Going to see a lot of crawling on Sunday is what you're saying.
That dude's intimidating.
He is.
There's a few guys in the NFL that if they were running at you, you might leave a trail behind you.
Did you see what was it? Speaking of the Packers and the Browns on Sunday, there was a clip the NFL posted of Myles Garrett beating a guy inside. And you just hear the tackle who he beat.
It was for Green Bay.
Green Bay. He yells, Jordan, run!
Jordan, run! Oh, imagine your job for the week when you go to work is to guard Myles Garrett. Imagine that's your job.
Not even really guard, just, you know.
Fend off if you can. Just trip him. Kick him where the sun don't shine.
Stalk, if you will. Yeah. Just be in the same area as Micah is for the week, yes.
Yeah, not good. But not yes, I will say he gets a sack.
Question number 2. The decision has been made in New York to start Jackson Dart over Russell Wilson.
Start Dart.
And Brian Daboll came out today and said that Dart will be the starter for the remainder of the season, which led to one of my new favorite drops from Russell Wilson I have not unveiled yet.
I'm not done.
Okay.
Russ says he's got a lot left. The competitive juices are flowing, and he's...
I'm not done.
You can hear in that 1 second clip, by the way, how angry he is.
I'm not done.
You hear how angry he is? He is fuming right now.
You guys benched me a week after I threw for 450 yards. Forget about what I did in the weeks before and after, but That week two game where I threw for 450. Forget about that game where I threw a football in a tunnel and got a intentional grounding call. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about the game where I threw for 450 yards.
Speaking of Cleveland, maybe.
Question, sir. Does Russ land with another team this season?
Cleveland makes sense, right? I mean, Flacco's not getting it done. Their defense is spectacular. If Russ can
won't cost
do
you a lot.
No, they're paying him $10 million. If they absorb some of it, why not? If I'm Cleveland, like, what's there to lose, right? I mean, you're not start by all accounts, they're not starting Shador. So
they are not starting Shador.
So okay,
that is not happening.
Cut Flacco and go sign Russ. Why not? I mean, if you're able to win that game versus Green Bay, like, try to take advantage of the momentum, right? That's my theory.
Absolutely.
I'm going to say, yeah, true.
All right. Question number 3, 4, and 5. Let's look at the standings here, sir. So yesterday in the producer six-pack, I gave you the undefeateds remaining, and I asked you to rank them from best or least surprising to most surprising. You said that the Bucks were the least surprising current undefeated football team right now in the NFL.
Correct.
True or false? The Bucks will be the last undefeated team to lose a game in 2025.
Let me look at their schedule. Tampa Bay, no. They're going to lose this weekend to the Eagles. They play the Eagles this weekend. Probably the one team right now that I'd pick above them in the NFC. How ironic is that?
Yeah, I mean, Eagles are vulnerable, but, I mean, hey.
Wow, listen to the schedule. Eagles versus Eagles at Seahawks versus 49ers at Detroit.
They got a nice little stretch coming up.
That's not easy.
No.
And they got a lot of injuries. Evans
they
is out
do.
3 to 4 weeks.
The hammy. Might be getting Godwin back here soon, but the receiving core is still sort of with Evans and McMillan hurt, and then the offensive line situation, you're still missing your right tackle and your guard. So,
yeah, that's so funny that you say that, because they literally play the one team I think that can beat them
right in
the NFC this week.
We will see then, sir. Okay, let's go to my 0-3 teams now. 0-3 teams. My last two questions are about those teams. So we have the Dolphins, the Texans, the Titans, the Giants, and the Saints.
And the Jets.
And the Jets. I'm sorry, I skipped over the Jets.
Yeah, I know that's – yeah, I always got that one in my back pocket.
So that's what, 6 teams right there. 6 teams that are still 0-3, have not won a game yet. The first team to break their winless streak will be the Houston Texans, true or false?
No, false. They have looked dreadful. And this is a – we talked about this a little bit yesterday, This is a carryover from last year.
Yeah.
This is not.
They fired the OC thinking that would jumpstart everything. And you want to talk about, you know, we're talking about Penix and the possible regression. A guy who is definitely regressed right now is CJ Stroud.
Oh, never mind. I changed my answer.
What
they
got?
They play the Titans this weekend.
They play the Titans.
No way. It's a battle.
Something's got to give,
yeah,
huh?
In a something's got to give game, CJ Stroud, I just believe.
Well, I mean,
in,
you know, it can end in a tie. It can end in a tie.
And speaking of which, Callahan over there.
Yeah, having to fend off those fire sale rumors right now.
He's giving up
play calling.
Dude.
Yeah.
He, not good. Yeah, I'm going to say the Texans only because they're playing the Titans.
Okay.
Didn't see that little caveat there.
All right. The last winless team to win a game this year will be the New Orleans Saints. True or false?
Ooh. I might say the Jets, depending on how
it's the
long.
Titans, Jets, and Saints right now are kind of wallowing in that sucked them, if you will.
Ugh. Like, can Cam Ward just go off one day, just like find a groove?
Of those three teams, I would think that the Jets would have the best opportunity based on them having arguably the best quarterback out those three and the better defense out that three, but
yeah, I'm going to say the Saints.
Saints.
They look just pathetic, man. That's the only thing that the Falcons can smile about right now.
At least we're not New Orleans.
At least we're not New Orleans. but we might be. All right, 404-726-0929. When we get back, let's hear from the head honcho, Raheem Morris. Join Dukes and Bell for an in-depth conversation about the state of the Falcons at a critical, critical point with Washington coming to town on Sunday. You'll hear that next on 92.9 The Game. Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 10 o'clock. A ton more to get into. Going to be a busy, busy 8 o'clock hour coming up. You're going to hear from Zach Robinson. You're going to hear more from Raheem Morris as he spoke to the assembled media today. You're going to hear his interview with Dukes and Bell coming up here in just a second. And you'll also hear from Mike Hughes, who joined Dukes and Bell today. I feel like we haven't talked about him much, which means I guess he played pretty well. That's usually how it goes for like offensive linemen and corners. The less you hear about them generally means the better that they're playing, because you only hear about them when they screw up. So that'll be an interesting conversation as well. And more about this Falcon situation going on with Zach Robinson and our QB1. But right now I want you to hear Raheem Morris. He joined Dukes and Bell for his weekly spot after that critical loss. How did they address how coach and his staff rebounds? We'll take a listen.
Raheem is here, guys, and he's just walked in, which means practice is done. Raheem Morris, our head football coach. Coach, we were just playing a cut from Zach Robinson talking about if he can't hear the play, talking about Michael Penix, he has plays he can go to, and we were just clowning around and said, look, if I'm Mike, I'm going with my favorite play. Everybody go deep.
You know, easier said than done.
True.
You do have plays you can go to. You just prefer it not happen in a situation of play.
Right.
I think when it happened on the third and one, kind of freaked him out a little bit and made him pause, you know, because critical moment, don't want to mess that up. Third and one, when you think you got a chance to get it, and you kind of froze up on those things. But, like, definitely a learning experience for Michael. Definitely a learning experience for us. Definitely something we can clean up. And we'll get that done. And, you know, it was part of that this week and starting our practices and how we want to go. And we are definitely not letting you draw up any plays in a huddle. I walked in on that.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I'm like, go. Saying,
he didn't take in the factors of it being third and one, getting the first down, moving the chains. None of that stuff was
there. There was
fine.
A story back in the day about Randall Cunningham with the Eagles just going, everybody go deep. It's like, well, what's the protection? You know what I mean? We need to know this stuff. We got our head coaches in the building. Obviously, you know, there's always going to be clunkers for elite teams. This is a team which is trying to get to the playoffs. What happens, you know, when you just feel it, it's going south? I mean, because fans always wonder, how does a team just come out that flat? And obviously, it's nothing you anticipated going up to Charlotte.
I didn't feel like we came out that flat. You know, I felt like we came out, we moved the ball, we got into the red zone. We missed the throw, you know. We missed the big throw that could have been a touchdown. It really changed the dynamic of that. I felt the team go a little flat after we missed that second field goal. You know, that was a big energy drop. That was a change. And we never got back. And I, like I said after the game, I said, put that on me. You know, you got to find a way to get those guys back. You got to bring them back. You got to find a way to get the energy up. And we'll do that. But you had that loss, and you don't want it to make you lose a game twice. You got to acknowledge it. I think you got to take credit for it. I think you got to own up to it. And then you got to take the criticism that comes along with it. And, like, that's what we're doing right now. You guys are here. You guys are questioning everything that happens up to that point. And everybody forgets about all the positive things that happen with either Mike or myself or even our coordinator for that matter. But that doesn't matter, right? You just talk about what's happening in the moment and you stay in the moment.
Coach, perception sometimes is reality. Sometimes it's not. Outside of this building, and I don't know what's going on inside of this building, it feels like outside people are saying, what's going on with the Falcons? Is it dysfunctional? They're firing a coach. They're making changes at kicker. What's happening inside the building for our fan base? Is it dysfunctional? How does it feel inside the building?
No, you got to make the changes you need in order to go out there and win football games. And that stuff just happens. That's a part of our business. You know, we all signed up as coaches, and we all signed up knowing that could happen. We all signed up knowing those things can happen anytime. And that's just how those things go. You know, it's always tough. It's never going to be easy. It's always going to be hard decisions. There's always going to be moments where you want to have to be able to talk about it and provide clarity. These are not those moments. Right now, you move forward, you find ways to make the organization better, and you get us to the next step. You know, with the kicker, you just got to go out there and find somebody that can make them. You know, we've kind of dealt with it, you know, dragged it on maybe a little bit too long. You put it on myself from last year, or whatever the case may be, took it to the competition of the offseason, didn't work out. Now you're in that mode of finding one and find somebody that can go out there and make them consistently. And we got to find that. You know, that's going to be critical at these moments. You see all these games throughout the week, they're going down to 3 points, and that won't change.
We're live inside the Ticketmaster Studios with Coach Ra live here at Falcons. Last year, you nearly had 2,000-yard receivers. If Darnell doesn't miss that last game with a concussion, Ray Ray had a career best. What changed with Ike Hilliard from being the guy that coached those guys to you dismissing him 3 weeks in the season?
You know, you're talking about the leadership of the room and what you want to do and the direction you want to go. And when you do those things, you have to make changes because of the discipline of some of the things that we want to get done. You got to make those changes. And when you make those changes, you don't want to set up yourself for uncomfortable environments for anybody. And you want to make sure you make harsh decisions, sometimes brutal decisions. And that's what your job is when you're the head coach. That's the job when you're leading the organization. And you got to go out there and you got to do those things. But we want to do these things for the right reasons, the right directions, and all the things that we want to get done. Right now, we can't rely on the fact that we almost had 3,000-yard receivers or we had guys break records last year. We got to only can rely on what we have going on right now, and we got to go change those things and do it right now. You got a small margin for error, and that was a small margin.
When you're watching the tape or when you make the decision, is it the receivers, is it schematically like they're not where they're supposed to be, they're not making the cuts, they're not doing the things? Is that what makes that decision?
You don't want to necessarily blame all that stuff. You know, you can blame a lot of things. You can talk about a lot of things. You can talk about role clarity. You can talk about everything that you have to do with that definition of it all. But these guys, I got a lot of faith in. These guys, I got a lot of confidence in. And we had to move in a different direction. Always hurts. Always awful. There's a lot of great qualities to our guy that we let go. There's no doubt about that. But we got to get the best of the qualities that we have in the building, and we got to get it out of our guys to play better.
Coach, since we have you here, and I said this maybe Tuesday about the changes, I will compliment you and say you're not waiting. And I said this to our audience that, you know, last year people wanted you to make changes at the quarterback position. You stayed patient. We understand that. But this situation is kicker's not working. We're moving. We're not scoring touchdowns, we're moving. And I think that's a positive that a lot of people in this negative thing that we're in right now coming off this loss may not see. I don't know if it'll work. I hope it does, but I will compliment you on I'm not waiting around to make these changes. It's Coach Ra with this guys. It's Dukes and Bell. Coach, let me ask you about the play calls. Are they too complicated? Are our play calls too long? When you talk about calling plays and getting them in a timely fashion, is that part of why we are not moving at a rate that we need to be moving offensively?
You know, a lot of it is, I wouldn't say the play calls are too long. I would say, you know, the play calls in the National Football League are pretty tough. Any normal fan or us go up there and try to get some of those things out, they're going to be tough. You know, say a north right clamp, Z slit down a 18 structure, that's going to be tough for most people.
Right.
You know, and then you're talking about the heat of the moment, you're talking to getting it out, you're talking about when you do have a radio go down, when something goes wrong, when something's a little off, you got to waste time out. You can't have those things happen. So we got to fix those things. You got to be able to fix those things quicker. You got to be able to manipulate and move a little bit better. And you can't wait on those things. You got to find out ways to do it. And that's what we're doing right now. The whole point of moving Zach down into the field, the whole point of finding a way to get some of those emergency calls out, to put more comfort in our quarterback so he can go out there and execute, getting him to call a little bit faster so he can go out and process everything and be able to get it done. Even if it's not the best call at the moment, it's something that he can process. He can go through the spots. He can get us all stuff done. That's where you got to go. You know, you can't worry about trying to be too perfect and doing some of those different things that happens to all of us when you're a perfectionist in this game. You want it to be the right way for the young man. But some of it, he can handle. Some of it, you can let him do better. Some of it, you can get it to him faster. Some of it, you can get it to him a bit different way. And we'll get those things done. I got a lot of confidence in that. We'll work on it this week. We'll work on getting the stuff faster. We'll work on some of the mistakes if something happens. We'll be able to do those things. Things that you already done.
Right.
But it's just a way to put more emphasis on it when it happened in the fashion that it did.
Coach Raheem Morris with us, guys, here on Dukes and Bell as we get ready for the Commanders. We'll talk about that in just a sec. You're a guy that came up, and again, like most coaches, you learned both sides of the football. You coached some offense and some defense. Do you get to a point, because the pistol is probably the most talked about thing right now nationally in our use of the pistol. Zach today telling the media, look, Bijan or whoever, if it's Tyler, is the same distance behind the line of scrimmage, whether it's pistol or Mike's over center. But do you feel at some point, if we don't get the results, that's a conversation you might have with Zach to perhaps maybe we tweak things as far as the approach?
That's tough to tweak when you just ran for 150 the week before in the pistol, you know, primarily that way. And these guys have had a lot of success. And, you know, we talk about the guys that have success. It has been, you know, Bijan, has been, you know, Tyler. So it's tough to talk about the pistol that way. Now, if you're referring to the one where our young back was in at the end of the game and he was 27 yards deep, you got me.
Was he doing?
He was a little deep. He's a young guy.
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, like, when you run the ball, I guess we had this conversation, I think, after week one.
I mean, so if you go pull that one out.
No.
You got me.
But just a little more play action. But again, but I think, you know, you're going to play to Michael's strengths, and Michael did play in the pistol.
And, you know, the play action thing, you're 100% right. You know, like, you want to get more play actions off.
Right.
You know, and you do get more play actions off when you're able to run the football. The game the other day, that was a mess, right? That is not the way anybody wants to play football. And that's not where we want to go.
Okay.
Coach, as we talk about the clock management stuff, do you have a clock management person in your ear, somebody that's upstairs, somebody that's next to you? Fans are asking us. We want to ask you.
What particularly are you asking?
Well, when we call the timeout, we alluded to this. Mike calls the timeout. We go over. We get the delay of game. We still don't pick up the first down out of the timeout.
I wouldn't call that a situational thing or a person talking in my ear. That was a mistake that I tried to let everybody know. You know, we had to call a timeout. The sets went out originally.
Okay.
You come to the sideline. You get the call. And we had a mistake by a young player that is I got a lot of confidence in. And he'll go get those things done. You know, when you got the timeout, you got people on the sideline. You tell them eight times. You go on the field. You mess it up. You can't call another timeout.
Right.
You take the delay game. That is a clear-cut mistake. That is something that you can't talk about. I don't put that in the time management realm. When you had to call a timeout, you could put it in the time management realm just okay. Because that's a problem. You shouldn't have to, right? Those things shouldn't happen. You got to be
early in the
feet.
First half, right?
You got to be quick on your feet. You got to be ready to go. You got to be ready to move. You know, other than that, I don't know what I'm answering.
No, I just want – I think the question is
– That is fault.
Okay, so one is a mistake. That particular series and how that shook out is a mistake. The other stuff, I think people are asking, hey, we're taking timeouts early. Is that part of somebody being in your ear saying, Coach, we need to take a timeout? Or, hey, look at the clock. Look what's going on. Or that's simply you?
No, some of the that's we got people definitely there for that. But some of the timeouts, you know, you don't want. You know, we just talked about – the biggest one that I can think of right now that happened in this game. I don't know about any other ones that happened in the other games, but I know this was one, you know, like Minnesota was close a couple of times with the crowd noise, different reasoning.
Right.
But you're 100% right. You want to clean all those things up, but definitely you have people in your ear. You have people across the ball talking about those things. You have people in all the labs talking about everything. So we got that.
Speaker cuts out, 15 seconds left in Penix's ear, and again, the speaker was out in his helmet.
Not the normal speaker cutting out. Right. Not that.
Yeah.
That would be on us as coaching staff. We're talking about the whole headset going out when you can't hear in general.
Right. And that's going
to get something. That happens in stadiums sometimes.
Right. Well, we're not playing
New England. Not a lot. But it happens. And you got to be ready for that as well. So,
right. And
you don't want to make that an excuse, like I said that night. But it's just I'm just very transparent and tell you the truth.
Right. And because the way things are going Sunday, we don't have a timeout before the half. And so we don't get a chance to kick the field goal. How you feel about Parker Rummel? Where's his head at? What's going on with the competition?
We got to see, man. You got to get him out there and let him kick. You know, we kick today. We'll kick on Friday. And then we'll make those decisions. We've been taking those things all the way to the wire, letting those guys go. And to be honest with you, you know, quite frank, we got to let the guys go out there. You know, Romo had a great night on a Sunday night. And then we turned around and we didn't have a great night on a Sunday day at 1 in Carolina. So you got to go out there. You got to keep earning it. You got to compete. And that's the only way I know how to do it, a kicker. Other than that, I don't know what to tell you.
I know what your people are telling us. We got to go. I know his quarterback's hurt, so he's a little banged up right
now.
Who's
that?
Well, I don't want to bring up where you know who he roots for. The guy that's standing behind you right there, and his quarterback's hurt a little bit.
Boomer Sooner.
But Coach, I got two more things for you. What's been your message this week? I'm curious because you lose that way, and everybody comes in the building like we know we're better than that.
Oh yeah.
What's been your message?
The whole thing with our guys is don't blink. You know, like, let these guys come to work, cut your eyelids off, go back to work. Let's get ready to go. Nobody get nervous. Nobody get unsettled. Let's go out there, go through our process, and go win. Find a way to win a football game. That's been the goal. That is the goal. You know, we got great leadership around this. What are you talking about? Jake Matthews, Chris Lindstrom. What are you talking about? Jesse Bates. What are you talking about? All the guys on this place, Caden Ellis. We got great people that came in, Devon Diablo. We got great people that's wanting to win, wanting to play, Drake London. All these guys, they are motivated, right? And you always should be motivated, but I got to tell you, the human factor definitely kicks in when you take a loss like that, that there's definitely a little bit more motivation than normal.
And the last thing for me, Coach, is the Commanders. We saw them at the end of the season, big game last year, different circumstances, but I think the big question for us right now, it is Wednesday, guys. And Bell, we don't know who's playing quarterback, and what's the concern for you? And not just that, as you look at their team coming into this year, what's your concern is taking on the Commanders on Sunday?
Clearly very similar guys, you know, in the fact that they can both run. You know, we're talking about both number two picks in the draft. Both two guys that made their living with their legs for a long time, but actually can then spin and do some really good things. You know, Marcus went out there and got a big-time win from last week. Obviously, the age difference is different, but the game plan won't change as much for the guy who's calling it, right? You may run the ball a little bit more, whether you're talking about with Marcus or you're talking about with Jaden, but those are just the things you got to be ready for. So, like, we got a good picture of what Marcus is going to do next week and how, I mean, last week and how that looked. And you definitely know what Jaden's done over the course of last year and up until this point. So You got to get ready for both of them. And when they get there, we'll be prepared. You know, our defense is ready to deal a lot of the similar stuff that we know. Cliff Kingsbury is the constant, and we know what it looks like, and got to be ready to prepare for that.
Any chance AJ plays? AJ Terrell?
You know, AJ is, again, week to week. Like, I don't want to rule him out quite yet. You talk about a hamstring.
Right.
Those things can turn around, you know, but, you know, I'm optimistic, but, you know.
We'll okay. We'll see. Coach, let's get right. Let's get right on Sunday.
Let's do it, man.
All right. That's Coach Raheem Morris.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think he said anything that was earth-shattering there, but what is he going to do? You're at Wednesday of the next week after this loss. You got to – Oren, what was the term I used at the beginning of the week that I told you you were going to hear? Because I forgot about this till just now. Somebody said it today. It took till Wednesday, but we got there, and that is flush it. Flush it. When you play a game this bad, it's not
close even, your eyelids. Or what did he say? Yeah, the eyelids.
Yeah,
yes.
Rip off the eyelids. Yeah. Wow, coach. Visual imagery there. Yeesh. I told you that was going to be the phrase that was used because when you play this poorly, you can't just sit there and break down each individual thing. You're going to drive yourself crazy because nothing was good. So instead, you just flush it. And that's exactly what was said today at Flowery Branch. How about what Matt Ryan had to say? QB1 went on his podcast today with Aaron Donald and Zach Klein, our buddy from WSB, as well as Todd France. And he said something very interesting about Michael Penix Jr. and Kirk Cousins. You're going to want to hear that, plus Zach Robinson and more from Raheem Morris, all coming up in a busy, busy 8 o'clock hour. Chris Thomas tonight.